And welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. First up, LQ updates. I really only have one LQ update for you this week, and that's LinuxQuestions.org podcast feedback. So as you probably noticed, there was no podcast last week. There was, however, a post on the podcast website asking for feedback. We've gotten a good amount of feedback so far, which is great, and we do read each and everything posted to the site. If you're one of the listeners that subscribes to the RSS feed and just automatically gets the audio download and you have some feedback for us, please head over to radio.linuxquestions.org and let us know what you think. Thanks. Now, on to the news. You've probably noticed a recent trend with the podcast that I've been kind of cutting back on the number of Microsoft stories that I cover in favor of more Linux and open source related items. In this podcast, I'm going to kind of catch up with some of the stories that have been happening over a little while with Microsoft and get them all into kind of one podcast. The first story then is ex-Microsoft security strategist joins Mozilla. And you did hear that right. Mozilla announced about a week and a half to 2 weeks ago now that Wendell Snyder is joining Mozilla to lead the company's effort to protect its range of desktop applications from malicious hacker attempts. And that was a quote from the press release. As you may have guessed, people just had a field day with this one, and comments like, Microsoft has a security team, to there goes the neighborhood, and even people thinking it was a joke because her name is Window, which is an interesting coincidence. So comments like that just were everywhere. The reality is that Window has gotten nothing but praise from pretty much every single respected security professional that I've seen comment on this one. And if she's good enough for the likes of Fjodor, for those of you unfamiliar, that's the author of Nmap, who posted a glowing review. To me, that says just a ton. Now, as Firefox continues to gain market share, I think it's become pretty clear that it's going to become more and more of a target for malicious crackers. They traditionally had targeted pretty much only Internet Explorer. It had like a 98% market penetration. But as Firefox gets a substantial market share, they're going to obviously target that. And it's great to see that Mozilla is being proactive here, and they're putting someone in place who I really think can help construct a long-term security plan. Just a small correction to many of the articles that I've seen, is she didn't actually come directly from Microsoft. She had been a founder and principal at Matasano Security, and then she'd also worked for Atstake and Symantec. Next story I have is quickest patch ever. And as we guessed in the original coverage, Microsoft was able to patch the issue with the cracked DRM quite quickly, and in fact quicker than most security fixes from them come out, which I do find a little bit disappointing. The following quote is from an article which appeared in Wired. Quote, "If you really want to see Microsoft scramble to patch a hole in its software, don't look to vulnerabilities that impact countless Internet Explorer users or give intruders control of thousands of Windows machines. Just crack Redmond's DRM." End quote. Now, to be fair to Microsoft, this wasn't a full patch in the traditional sense of the patch, but it was an update of the DRM, which is really more akin to a configuration change than an actual code change. But the speed with which this was rolled out still underscores where the Microsoft priorities are, for sure. And I think one thing that added to Microsoft's desire to get this patch quickly is that the Zune is poised to go, and I believe they're actually doing a press release on that tomorrow, so I'm sure they didn't want the RIA thinking that their DRM was bogus or easily cracked. And I think this just goes to show that Microsoft really doesn't consider the average user the consumer. Their consumers are Dell and HP, and also media companies and the like of those companies, large companies. And as long as that's the case, as long as they don't view you, who's the end user, as their customer, it's just not going to be in their perceived best interest to help you directly. What's important to you isn't necessarily going to be important to them, because you're not actually usually buying anything from Microsoft. When you purchase a Windows license, it's almost always because you bought a new computer. And as I've mentioned many times before, Microsoft doesn't have a huge amount of boxed Windows sales. It's predominantly the OEMs. And as a side note here, as you've probably already suspected, the patched version has already been compromised, and it was compromised in literally under a day, which goes to show how effective DRM in many cases really is. The next story I have is Microsoft releases new open specifications promise on 35 web service specifications. And this is a quote from a post over at consortiuminfo.org. Quote, Microsoft has just posted the text of a new patent promise not to assert at its website and pledges that it will honor that promise with respect to the 35 listed web services standards. The promise is similar in most substantive respects to the covenant not to assert patents that it issued last year with respect to its Office 2003 XML reference schema, with two important improvements intended to make it more clearly compatible with open source licensing. Those changes are to clarify that the promise not to assert any relevant patent extends to everyone in the distribution chain of a product, from the original vendor through to the end user, and to clarify that the promise covers a partial as well as a full implementation of the standard. End quote. So basically, the promise to assert is an irrevocable promise by Microsoft that someone that implements one of the covered standards, be it in part or in full, will not be sued for doing so. And really the only main caveat in there is that if you sue them for a patent issue unrelated, no matter what it is, they can reserve the right to revoke and quite certainly will revoke your right to use their patent. And now it's interesting and I think encouraging to see that this promise was updated from the Office 2003 XML promise to specifically include wording intended to make it more clearly compatible with open source, and they went as far as to state that. That's something we haven't often seen from Microsoft in the past. It should also be noted that the Microsoft Open Specification Promise page, which is what this was supposed to do on the Microsoft.com site, includes testimonials from both Red Hat and Larry Rosen. I'd say that this is another step in the relationship between open source and proprietary companies that I've been commenting on with increasing regularity in the podcast. Now, to be sure, this is just a toe dip for Microsoft, but I'm positive that they see the money that the IBMs and the Oracles and even the Suns are bringing in based on open source and open standards, and they don't want to be left without a piece of that pie. To be sure, though, they're still figuring out internally how to balance that with the nature of their two cash cows, and it's going to be something to watch as it unfolds moving forward, and it is something I'll certainly keep you updated on. Now, if this is a topic that you are interested in, I definitely recommend you read the full Consortium Info analysis, as it's quite in-depth and a very good read. The next story I have is Microsoft re-releases IE patch. Microsoft has recently released, for the third time, a patch for MS-06-042. And here's a quote from the InfoWorld article. Quote, according to Microsoft Security Bulletin, the IE patch was updated September 12th to fix another remote code execution vulnerability in IE's handling of long URLs from websites that are using HTTP 1.1 and compression. That's almost identical to the problem introduced in the original version of the patch, then discovered by security research EI Digital Security. End quote. This issue, I think, underscores the security problems that Microsoft just continues to have. And it really makes you wonder, and this is something I've also said in previous podcasts, if they can possibly live up to the promises that they've made for Vista and IE7. They've made many security promises before, and as you can see, it just really has never come to fruition for them. While bugs and security issues are definitely to be expected in software as complicated and as many lines of code is what we're dealing with in this conversation, a single issue having to be addressed three, and I guess you could say and counting because this is only a day or two old now, three plus times then, shows a lack of discipline, I think, a lack of procedure, and really a lack of QA. I'd guess that they have their developers so focused on getting Vista out the door that the MSRC, as they call it, which is the Microsoft Security Response Center, probably isn't getting the resources that they need to do these things properly. And as long as that's the attitude that Microsoft takes with regard to security, they are absolutely going to continue to have problems. And speaking of upcoming problems, if you look at what the Zero Day Initiative has in their queue for upcoming unreleased Microsoft vulnerabilities, there's quite a few, including five with the severity of high, so you can expect to see those sometime in the somewhat near future. Anytime something makes it to that queue, it means that Microsoft is aware of it. And on the site, they actually post when they made the vendor aware of it, how many days it's been, the severity of the release. So there's some interesting data there. But like I said, 5 pending in the queue with a severity of high for Microsoft. So things don't look like they're going to get better anytime soon. The last story I have is not Microsoft related at all. It's just a quick update on Flash 9. And it's Flash Forward Linux Demo. Like I said, this is a quick update on Flash 9 on Linux, as all my previous discussions on the topic drew quite a few requests for continual updates. So the Flash 9 plugin is now in good enough shape that they have showed it publicly, and that was at the Flash Forward. There's still no exact ETA yet, but a public beta should be along real soon now. They have publicly stated that there wouldn't be a public alpha, and the public beta would be more of a traditional beta, not kind of a Google beta where it's really pretty much done. They're just kind of releasing it for the first time publicly. They're going to do an actual beta in the more traditional sense of the word. And considering that the plugin is currently slated for release in early 2007, I think we can expect that fairly soon. And when that is available for public download, I'll certainly let you know. That's all I have for now, but thanks for listening.